When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
Go behind the wheel and under the hood on everything automotive with high-speed stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hello, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to the podcast. As you know, my name's Ben, and I hang out with our very own Scott Benjamin, the auto editor of HowStuffWorks.com.
Howdy do, Ben.
Howdy do indeed. You say that so innocently.
Well, yeah.
But I have a feeling you're a man with a past.
What?
Perhaps a checkered one.
What do you mean?
You know, you said you've dropped a few clues that I've picked up in the context of our conversations here.
Yeah.
That let me think maybe the Scott Benjamin we know today is not the Scott Benjamin pre-How Stuff Works.
Interesting. What do you mean exactly?
Well, you know, first off, I want to make it very clear that there are a lot of people listening to us, Scott, so if anything happens to me after this conversation,
they know what to do.
Jerry is recording this, so this is evidence. But it just struck me, and I don't want to delve into this. Your business is your own. I just wanted to ask you if you've ever been involved in a car chase.
Definitely not. No way. There's no chance I would ever get involved in anything like that. Seriously, no, I don't think, you know, I'm trying to put myself in any kind of situation right now in my head, just trying to think of what I'd be running from. But I don't think I would ever, you know, try to leave a scene of an accident or if I was being pulled over for speeding or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. I don't think I would ever try to run.
And you wouldn't try to chase anyone either.
No, I definitely would not.
I would hope.
No.
Okay.
Oh no. That's not. That's dangerous.
Yeah, you want to know something crazy?
Let me have it, yeah.
Were you about to ask me?
I was going
to
say, what is it? Yeah,
I was in high school involved in a car chase.
Really?
Not with police.
Oh,
not with police.
Yeah,
no,
sure.
No. Let's see, I think it was a sophomore, and the person chasing me, my friends, was a senior.
Oh, you were being chased.
Well, I was being chased,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, I see.
Well,
that sounds dangerous. What's going on?
Do you
care to expand on that?
I probably shouldn't get into details. You know, looking back, it seemed scary at the time, and it seems funny now looking back. But again, the only reason it seems funny is because it was a long time ago, and everybody happened to get out without getting hurt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's one of the things that most chases probably run a risk of is injuring someone severely.
Definitely.
You know, and so as we could probably guess, you know, we're going to talk about car chases,
yeah.
Police chases.
And you're right that, you know, a lot of times it's not just the people involved in the chase either. A lot of times it's the bystanders that get injured in a police chase.
Oh, yeah.
And as a matter of fact, police agencies are really cracking down on cracking down on themselves. They're saying they're restricting when they're allowed to chase,
sure.
Which may be shocking because you see them on television all the time. You know, you see these programs like, you know, the world's wildest police chases, whatever. Mm-hmm. It seems like it happens a lot, but in reality, it doesn't happen as often as you may think.
Right, and, you know, of course, it can be glamorized a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, a police chase doesn't have to be miles long and go over, you know, through a golf course and mm-hmm. into botanical gardens or anything like that. It can be just, you know, pretty simple, straightforward on side streets, you know, just a couple blocks and then someone gives up or crashes or whatever. That's usually the case. They usually crash. The other case is, you know, on the highway, it may last just a brief bit of time, and then the person realizes, hey, I'm not going to do this, and they pull over. Mm. Or they're quickly taken out. You know, they're boxed in, they're forced over to the side, whatever. Something happens, but not every chase is, you know, 30 minutes long and, you know, televised.
Right. Few and far between.
Yeah.
And so I guess we can start off, when we say this, what we mean when we say a police chase. And, of course, we think this is probably obvious, but just mm-hmm. to set the stage, mm-hmm. A police chase is what we mean by that is when a law enforcement vehicle is pursuing another vehicle, and that vehicle that's being pursued, they know the police are after them, but they keep going. We're not talking about those poor, unfortunate people who somehow don't notice.
No, I've seen that before, too. Just kind of oblivious behind the wheel, and they just keep driving, and you see the police, they've got the lights on, they've had the lights on for some time, but they're just, whatever reason, they're not looking in the mirror.
Sure.
They don't hear the siren, maybe they have the radio up too loud, whatever, but they're not trying they're not trying to evade the police, and that's the difference here. We're talking about people that are intentionally trying to evade the police and terribly dangerous, and this is a bad idea.
This is a really bad idea.
Yeah, really bad.
You know, Scott, I've got a couple of famous car chases.
Oh.
Do you want to hear?
Yeah, famous, sure. I'd love to hear them.
Now, these are both going to probably be more familiar to our U.S. listeners, but some, one of them, definitely, let's just get the cat out of the bag. One is definitely world famous. Mm-hmm. You'll recall O.J. Simpson.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I remember that.
You remember that one?
Oh, I do. The slow speed chase.
The slow speed chase.
Yeah, that's right.
June 17th, 1994. What was going on there?
1994? Really? That was that long ago?
We're getting old.
Wow. Okay. I remember the white Bronco, right?
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Yep. White Bronco.
The infamous white Bronco.
Mm-hmm. No one was charged in this chase. And it was low speed. It was televised. And it was very, very different from most of the chases that have happened before.
Mm-hmm.
But I've got one that's also in California that's going to blow your mind, my friend.
All right.
It's crazy.
Let me have it.
Let me paint a picture for you, Scott. 17 May 1995, Sean Nelson is living in California. And his life is not going too well, and he's had some problems. And on this day, he decides to steal a vehicle and goes on a 23-minute televised chase where he's pursued by multiple officers, and eventually, unfortunately, he does die, and they're capturing the vehicle. Here's the catch. The reason I'm saying vehicle and not car is because he stole an M60 patent tank.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. I remember seeing this.
You saw this one?
You know what? I didn't remember the name, but I remember seeing this, yes. I've seen footage of it. I didn't see it live.
57 tons that
Whoa.
Thing weighs.
Whoa. 57 tons.
Mm-hmm. And that one is an example of how strange, unpredictable, and dangerous these kind of chases can be because, as we said in the beginning, police officers and police departments and law enforcement agencies really think carefully about the collateral damage that can happen, the risks mm-hmm. to the officers and the perpetrators, or the people being pursued.
Yeah, there can be some severe. In fact, you know what? I've got a couple of stats here from our article if you want
just
real quick.
Yeah, definitely.
Now, these straight from the article, but according to the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, in 2001, so this is going back a few years, but in 2001, there were 365 deaths that resulted from police chase Jeez. In that 1 year. And of those 365, 140 of those people were just innocent bystanders. So these are people that are either in cars that, you know, just somehow became involved in this. They were crossing the intersection at the wrong time.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it was pedestrians, you know, just there's a whole host of things that can go wrong in a, during a police chase.
Sure.
I mean, more wrong, I should say, in a police chase, because something's already going wrong.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
So, you know, that's terrible statistics, and again, that's why they're so tight on these, because, you know, for this many deaths to happen in just 1 year's time, that's one a day, 365 deaths a year.
Yeah.
Doesn't work out that way. Usually it's several at a time. But, you know, that's bad news. So, you know, there's a reason for them to cut back on this, and they decide there's a lot of different factors they look at, you know, when they determine if a chase is worth it. You know, what's the person, if the person's wanted for something, if you know, the weather conditions, I would guess, would come into play. Mm-hmm. You know, the danger aspect involved, you know, if the person is known to be armed and dangerous, they just stole the car, you know, what they're up to, I guess.
Sure.
There's so many factors. Like maybe, I think I even read that, you know, they'll consider if it's, you know, the time when schools would be letting out, you know, that maybe they might come into a neighborhood where, you know, school children are getting off a bus.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be terribly tragic, you know, if that were to happen.
And then also how crowded the area is.
Exactly. If you're at a crowded mall area,
yeah.
You know, on a weekend or something, or, you know, during a weekday, whatever. There's a ton of different factors that go into this. And I think I read, and I'll double check this in a while,
sure.
after we're done.
yeah.
But I thought I read that in Orlando, I think it's in Orlando, Florida, they've got real tight restrictions. And they said that they actually have to have somebody on the radio that's not involved in the accident. Or in the chase, rather, determining whether to continue the chase or not, because the person that's not involved is a slightly, you know, slightly more level-headed at that moment than the person involved, because, you know, they've got adrenaline going. They've got an interest in catching the person that just narrowly escaped them. So they may continue the pursuit no matter what, even if it seems dangerous and it's a you know, poor judgment on their part.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. But an outside person, you know, a third party, I guess, would be able to, you know, make that call a little better for them. So they keep somebody on the radio at all times to tell them, back it off, you know, or yeah, go ahead and do this.
And you know, Scott, I think you said it best a couple of episodes earlier when you said people cannot outrun the radio.
Yeah, that's right. That's another thing you got to remember is that, you can't beat the technology, really. I mean,
right.
Let's say you're on a highway and, you know, you narrowly escape. They've already got your license plate number. They've got a
sure.
description of you. They know
yeah.
they know who you are, really.
Yeah.
Basically.
Right.
You're not going to be able to outrun the radio. They're going to, you know, they're going to phone ahead or radio ahead, have somebody block you off or you know, seal in the road so that you can't get off. You know, you're funneled into a certain direction
sure.
that they want you to go into. You're just not going to get away from the radio.
So no matter what you see on television or in the movies or what you hear, I think that even though I'm not an expert, even though, mm-hmm. Scott, you're the expert, I think we can both guarantee that pulling over is going to result in more favorable outcomes than trying to outrun. Because it's not Dukes of Hazzard.
You know
this
what?
Just doesn't happen.
Every time. Every
yeah.
time. Because if you're running, you and I have both seen this. The end of the chase when... you know, the suspect jumps out of the car and tries
yeah.
a last-ditch effort to run away.
Mm-mm.
That's bad news. You see the police officers are all pumped up and on adrenaline, and they're doing whatever it takes to take you down. And,
oh, yeah.
It can be pretty bad.
I mean, the police officers at that time, it's understandable because they have just witnessed proof that this person doesn't really care about injuring bystanders.
No, they don't care, so they're going to do whatever it takes to stop that person.
Right.
And, yeah, that's usually bad news for the driver.
What kind of stuff do police officers do when they're trying to stop a
pursuit? Oh, there's a ton of different methods they can employ. Actually, do you know any of these? Do you have anything in mind? Because I've got a whole list of things here. I don't want to...
Oh, I've got a couple, too.
What
shall we do a list?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, let's see.
What have you got for me?
I'll start off...
I didn't mean to surprise you with that.
Oh, no. It's cool, man.
Not good.
My adrenaline is racing. I'm going to chase down this list.
Sure.
Oh, gosh. What a terrible pun. I am so sorry.
It's all right.
That's not even a pun. That's just bad. Okay, so one of the first things that police officers will do pursuing a vehicle is to... you know, come behind the vehicle in what's usually called trailing. And we're getting a lot of this from an excellent article by Mr. Steve Ashley. Trailing, you know, it's just following behind the vehicle, just so you can see the lights in case you can't hear it, and letting other people know, letting dispatch know where the vehicles are and what they're doing. And then if they're refusing to stop, then they get in a special thing called pursuit position, which is sort of offset behind the vehicle so that oncoming traffic can see the sirens in advance.
Oh, I had no idea that was what they were doing. I've seen that position before, even when they flank the car, I guess.
Right.
From, you know, on the back. And I had no idea that was to alert people ahead of the vehicle that they're coming.
Well, that's one of the reasons, because, again, everything that police officers are doing in these situations is really safety before it's more safety than it is actually, you know, nailing somebody down. Mm-hmm. You know,
oh sure, the police, they're very calculated about what they're doing. It's very formulaic. They know exactly what step they're going to take next.
And we'll get into that later and why they have to be that way. But there's also, you know, reduced interval is the term for it, but we know it as tailgating.
Oh,
and when we do it, it's usually an inconsiderate thing to do. And then, of course, you got the spike strips that people use.
Oh, yeah.
Tire shredders, stuff like that. Yeah, yeah. And then...
sometimes effective, sometimes not.
You know,
depends on if they see them ahead of time and they swerve out of the way, or the person who's pulling the spike strips across, they may miss.
Mm-hmm,
that happens sometimes. But I've seen that work both ways. Like, it's either... you know, very, very effective, or sometimes they just can't seem to get it underneath the car.
Right, and sometimes people will just keep driving.
And if you know what we're talking, you know what we're talking about, it's a strip of huge spikes that are meant simply to deflate all four tires on the car, at least several of the tires on the vehicle, and that will, you know, bring the speed down and allow the police to move in.
Bring the speed down, knock the control way down.
Yeah,
and then I've also got the roadblocks, you know, which can be stationary or can move. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the last couple, police, multiple cars boxing in a violator and then actually making contact with the other vehicle, which is one of the most dangerous. And I guess, in my opinion, the most dangerous of all these tactics is the use of firearms.
Oh, yeah. They're strongly cautioned against that, I know. I mean, a lot of people will look at a chase and say, why don't they just shoot the tires out on that car and then, you know, end this right now?
Because this is not Grand Theft Auto
3. That's the problem, because that bullet has to go somewhere. And if they miss the tire, even if they do hit the tire, it can go somewhere else and strike somebody. And, you know, that's bad news. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's funny when you're talking about all this, I keep thinking of all these chases that I've seen where you're just thinking, what are they doing? They're staying behind the vehicle. It's, you know, it goes from fast to slow. Mm-hmm. Even when it goes to slow, maybe they don't move in. And I think, well, why aren't they just ending this? Why aren't they taking care of it right now? Yeah. And they're you know, reacting to whatever someone else is telling them to do. You know, they would. It's also best judgment on their own part. But in the case of, like, let's say in Orlando, Florida, where they've got somebody else telling them what to do, if they say we're in a crowded area, we're near a school, you know, just follow him, just tail him, make sure he doesn't get away. Don't make any moves because we don't know what this person's going to do. They may get out and begin firing a gun.
Right.
They may get out and they may run into the school and take hostages. You just don't know what that person's going to do. So, you know, a lot of times you just have to be patient. They know what they're doing. They're waiting for the precise moment to take that person down.
And that's an excellent point. I guess one easy way for us to think of this is assuming that the person involved or being chased by law enforcement in a vehicle has already obviously made some bad decisions in life. They probably are not acting in the most rational manner. Mm-hmm. To compensate for that, law enforcement has to act in a very, very rational manner. So they have to think every action through three or four times and very quickly.
Sure, and that pit maneuver that they do, which you were talking about, where they make contact with the vehicle, where I'm sure people have seen this. It's called the pursuit intervention technique, and that's where they kind of bump the rear quarter panel of the car, you know, whether on the highway, wherever they are, it could be in a neighborhood, slow speed, whatever. Mm. They use the front end of the police vehicle to kind of push the rear end of the other vehicle out and make it spin out in front of them.
Okay.
Very calculated. It's actually more difficult than it looks. It's not just as simple as bumping the car and that's it. You have to brake at the exact right time. You have to, push it with just the right force, and you have to know what to do immediately afterwards to put an end to it. But it does. It's very effective, and it's called a pit maneuver. That's PIT, pit. Mm-hmm. And you'll see that a lot in these chases, especially, when you're on highway and there's a lot of open room. But once they get the okay to do that, a lot of times that will end the pursuit. That's an effective move. And like you said, there's a lot of things that they can do, like roadblocks, and they have sometimes they'll have air-based backup, like a helicopter.
Oh, yeah.
That follows them. And one of the coolest things, I think, is watching some of the infrared or night vision camera stuff when they're following somebody, because then the police vehicles they can back off maybe a little bit more than they normally would, because the helicopter's not going to miss anything. Even at night, they've got these thermal imaging cameras that the person, even if the person were to get out and run and hide under something, in a bush, in a field, wherever, they can guide the officers directly to that person. There's no getting away. This is just, I don't know how many times I can say it, but it's just bad news to run from the police. You should not do it ever.
Yeah,
You're not going to get away. I mean, even if they know who you are, they're going to come find you at some point. Just after that, or they'll see your vehicle again, or they'll see you again. You're not going to get away.
No, not from people who are paid to find you.
No,
and there's a lot to be concerned about, especially for people involved in a police chase. Already, this is something that law enforcement does not want to have to do. It's very controversial in some states. We talked earlier about how carefully the police departments and law enforcement agencies have to think about their approach to these sorts of chases. And interestingly enough, Scott, I don't have the specifics here, but there are a couple of pieces of litigation concerning this. Does it violate someone's constitutional rights when they are pursued by police in a chase and injured? There was a court case, and I apologize for not having this, that very recently in 2007 was decided in favor of the police. Someone being pursued had their back injured in this police chase. And the court found in favor of the police because, of course, to us this may seem, not being in on all the details of the case, it may seem like common sense. You kind of signed up for the possibility of that when you became involved.
Sure, you're running from the police. If you're injured while you're doing that, I don't see how the police could be held accountable for that. But, it seems like the correct ruling was made to find in favor of the police in this case. But I can't even imagine somebody arguing that point.
Well, it's, we don't have all of the details of the case with us here, but there is a different approach here. I believe it's called Christie's Law, which Christie's Law is named after someone who died as a result of a police chase and was an innocent bystander.
Oh, okay.
And basically, this law in the state of California would reduce limit some of the immunity that law enforcement agencies have in cases where their process for police pursuit is clearly written but not practiced. And one of the reasons this comes about is because of the statistics we mentioned earlier.
So that's where this this level-headed idea comes back into play, is that you get somebody that's outside the situation who maybe can make a better decision than somebody who's involved in it and has an emotional attachment to the situation that's happening right now in front of them.
Right.
Or I guess it would be physical if there's adrenaline involved, which there is.
I imagine.
It would be tough for a police officer to give up a chase on their own, I think.
Sure.
So I could see where, they may push it a little further than what they should have, logically at that point. But that's an interesting law. I had never heard of that. What's it called again? Christie's Law?
Christie's Law. Now this, again, to my knowledge, this has not been passed. Governor Schwarzenegger signed some legislation that has a similar effect, but this effect I don't think this specific law has gone into full force. And one of the reasons it hasn't is because that kind of stuff is very difficult to determine. You know, we've heard before about the fog of war, you know, where politicians or generals say that it's difficult to communicate clearly and have a lot of the information you need in these kind of situations. And a police chase, in a lot of ways, suffers from the same kind of fog, right?
That's right. Yeah, they well, I don't know if they can. They really can't watch CNN and see what's going on out there. They're right. Relying on the radio. You know, what's happened. Communication between the vehicles involved, mm-hmm. dispatch, and whoever else might be called in to kind of, direct that chase. You know, right. So if there's a commanding officer who's called into the dispatch area to, I don't know exactly how that would work, Ben, but yeah. You know, they may be called in to really direct what's happening out there on mm-hmm. on the roads.
Okay, so we've talked about the law enforcement involved, some of the legislation, and we've talked about the violators of this. One thing we haven't really talked about, and I think we could use your advice on, what should innocent bystanders do during a car crash? And before you answer that...
Car chase?
Oh, yeah, car chase.
Yeah.
The two are related.
Yeah, sure.
But I'm jumping the gun.
Yeah, that's right.
But before we go to that question, I have to ask you, weren't you a witness to a couple of chases?
I've seen two, and I just made a note here. You may have seen me. I just remembered a third, but it was different situation, I'll tell you. I've witnessed two police chases. One was in the late 80s in Traverse City during the Cherry Festival. It was nighttime, dangerous. Car came sliding through the intersection sideways and then just off into the darkness, and seconds later, a police officer, you know, came tearing around the same corner again and followed them into the darkness. Never had any idea what happened at that, you know, in that case.
Were you a pedestrian?
I was. Yeah, I was on the corner. I was on the street corner, and with a lot of other people.
Wow.
Dangerous.
Yeah.
You know, you could see where something could go terribly wrong there.
Sure.
And the next one was in Troy, Michigan, and it was probably in the mid to late 1990s. And this one, I kind of got the extended play version on this one because I was out for lunch, I think, and in a parking lot, cars tore through the parking lot super fast, police car being pursued, and they went back out onto the main street, and I thought, holy cow, that's over. You know, they jumped the parking barriers, jumped that, the curb, out back on the, or back onto the street, down the road. They came back. They must have been cut off by another officer. I don't know exactly what happened because this is a long way down the road. They came back while I was still in the parking lot, and ended up in the front, I guess it'd be the front lawn of a business that was in the area, and there was a low wall, maybe a 3-foot or 4-foot brick wall, and they went right through that wall, just blasted right through it. The car being pursued, tore a huge hole in it, destroyed. The car was really beat up at that point, and they continued to run, just in a few circles here and there. And they eventually pinned him in and caught him right there in front of me, and they, you know, drug him out and threw him on the ground. There were two people in the car. But it was pretty rough because they were, you know, of course, the officers are all pumped up on adrenaline. They're fired up, ready to get the person out. And they were pretty rough, but understandably so. I mean, it was a big deal. But the whole thing, if I had to guess, I would say that I witnessed it for probably a minute, but it felt a lot longer.
Sure.
It seemed like there was a lot going on. There were a lot of police officers around, and just the activity, and you're just trying to stay away. So that's the thing. Like, you don't know where they're going to go. It's very unpredictable.
Uh-huh.
But if you see a car flying past you on the freeway, 100 miles an hour or whatever, take a glance in your rearview mirror to see if anybody's following them, if there's a police officer right behind them, because that may... And don't make any abrupt moves. Don't try to swerve out of the way or anything, because they may be trying to go around you that direction.
Yeah.
I guess maintain where you're going. You can slow down a bit if that makes you feel better.
Sure.
But really, they'll see you as an obstacle to get around at that point. So if you make an abrupt move, suddenly everything's changed for them, and they may not know where to go. So in that case, stay where you are. If you have time to get over and you can do so, you know, with a lot of room, go ahead and do that. If you're pedestrian, I don't know. Try to find a shelter. I don't mean to laugh about it, but
right.
you do need to get out of the way quick.
And then also, I think we mentioned this when we were talking about this idea earlier. Probably a good idea to find a different route,
mm-hmm.
right? If you're heading one way and then they're coming up from behind you,
yes,
and continuing the direction you were pointed toward,
yeah, because more vehicles are going to be joining that chase, and you know, things are going to be, there's going to be problems ahead. I'll tell you that. So yeah. Find a different route, just get out of the way, and consider yourself lucky that you weren't involved, because yeah. You know, a lot of times you'll see on these, you know, these videos, these chase videos, that you know, cars get sideswiped and other other vehicles. Here's another danger that you may not think of. Other vehicles are watching what's going on. They're not watching. They're not paying attention to what they're doing.
Yeah.
You may be hit by another vehicle.
You could be rear-ended pretty easily.
Just anybody that's, you know, just not paying attention. Yeah. Another motorist not involved in the crash, or rather in the chase. So, you know, there's a lot of things you can do. Just be smart about it. Mm-hmm. But if you're crossing, this is the unfortunate part. If you're crossing an intersection and you're one of the unlucky ones that, you know, is struck by someone going 100 miles an hour where they should be stopped, that's bad news for everybody.
Yeah, and also if you're one of these people who were injured by a third party, or you received damage to your vehicle during a police chase, the laws vary as far as the immunity granted to police officers or granted to law enforcement. We should say granted to law enforcement agencies, because of course the police officers themselves are just doing their jobs.
Yeah, so. That's right. And like you said, it varies from state to state and municipality to municipality. Mm-hmm. So just check into the laws.
Yeah, so there you have it. Scott and Ben's one-step guide to police chases.
I don't know if that was one step. That was a lot of steps.
Well, we just explained that step in detail.
Yeah, sure.
We said, here's how we came to the conclusion. Don't do it.
Yeah, that's good. You're right. It was a lengthy discussion, but you know what? I think you know, well deserved on this topic, because you know, it's something that you could just inadvertently witness. I did twice. I was thinking of the third one that I saw a motorcycle that was just flying in between rows of traffic, and
wow.
Much later a police officer was coming down the road, so he was well ahead of the police officer in that chase. But you know, if you just inadvertently stumble across something like this, just keep your head about you, you know, be aware of what's going on around you, and just be safe.
All right, so I guess that's all we have for today. Thanks so much for tuning in. If you have any ideas for a topic you'd like to hear in an upcoming episode, please send us an email at highspeedstuff@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com. And be sure to check out the High Speed Stuff blog on the howstuffworks.com homepage.
Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. Whether your pursuit involves a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree, GCU's learning environments are designed for supportive networking and collaboration. With over 330 academic programs, GCU provides a path to help you fulfill your dreams. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
I'm Johnny B. Good, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.